do pray the Lord would be with me tonight. Ask each of you to pray for me. Thank the Lord for the sweet prayer that's been offered. And it's just good to be here at Happy Creek again tonight. Every time I come before the Lord's people, whatever number it might be, we always have some fear and trembling. And tonight is no different than any other time. My desire and concern is to be faithful to the Word of God and to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the glory and honor and the praise of the Lord. And I recognize the need I have of His blessing in order to be enabled to do that. So I ask each of you sincerely to pray for me that the Lord would just be with us tonight as we look at a portion of His Word, and that we might learn from it and grow in it, and that we might be able to apply it as we go on in our lives. I'd like to call your attention to the 3 John in the New Testament, the writings of the Apostle John in the epistle, the 3rd Little John is what the Brother Land used to call it, the third book, the third letter, 3 John. And I'd like to begin reading right at verse 1. We'll read the entire book tonight. It's just one chapter, and it's a wonderful, wonderful letter here written by the Apostle John. And John is such a lovely apostle. You know, all the apostles were given the wonderful gifts and talents. And John is the one who wrote of himself in the book of John as that disciple whom Jesus loved and laid his head on Jesus' breast at the communion service. And what a great, great something to say about someone, the disciple that Jesus loved. I believe John loved Jesus, but he didn't say the disciple who loved Jesus. He addressed himself and spoke of himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved, because he recognized that everything that he was as an apostle and everything that he was that's right and good was based upon the fact that Jesus loved him. It wasn't about him loving Jesus, it was about Jesus loving him. And in 1 John and 2 John, he's written us much about that. And then in 3 John, we find this writing. He says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." It's wonderful to have friends here in this world. Friends that are, I believe, the children of God. And our relationship tonight as brothers and sisters in Christ, as friends, is based in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Here we have the elder, which was not only the aged apostle, but I believe acting as an elder, a teacher, a minister of the gospel, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly the Apostle John was. Rather than use the wonderful title of an apostle, which had a great, great authority, he spoke as an elder. We see the apostles doing that from time to time, and they addressed the elders at one place. They addressed them as an elder. And here the elder writes unto the well-beloved Gaius. And that means he's writing to a brother that he truly loves, one he truly loves. I believe we have that relationship with many of the Lord's people. And it is certainly a great, great blessing to have those brothers and sisters that you truly love. And here the elder is writing unto that well-beloved Gaius. He says, whom I love in the truth. And it wasn't a fleshly kinship and a fleshly love, but there was a love that was in an agreement with the gospel and an accord to the gospel, because they had a love for Jesus. And we love Jesus, why? Because he first loved us. And so it's based in the love of God that he's worked in us. We're able to love one another. And he says he loved them in the truth. And there was a fellowship in the truth. There's a special blessing. We can have fellowship with God's children in this world and can have a love for them, even those that disagree with us and do not really know the truth. There's a special tie that comes in the truth, isn't it? And understanding tonight the truth that salvation is completely by the grace of Almighty God. There's a special love that we can feel and share with others of God's children, whether they come from one state or another state, or from far away or right from next door. There's a wonderful fellowship and love that we can have for those who come and preach the truth and teach the truth and share with us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have that kind of relationship, you can share those hard times and difficult times with those brethren, and it can mean so much to you to have someone that you know loves you and loves you as the Lord has loved you. We love one another, and we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And what a great blessing it is to have brethren that you love in the truth. I say it tonight, I believe those of you who know the truth tonight, I love you in the truth. And I thank the Lord for our fellowship in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 2 and he says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I don't believe he was wishing just like I wish upon a star. I believe he had a prayer for this brother. I believe he went to a throne of grace. As the Apostle Paul said, his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I believe that God's children have an earnest prayer for one another, that in this case he says that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So is it okay for us to pray for one another in regard to our health? Well, the Bible says that it is. And is it okay for us to pray for one another as far as our natural prosperity? In other words, if a brother's out of a job, is it okay to pray that they get a job? Is it okay if a brother's in need financially that we pray that they would find those needs met? The answer is, not only is it okay, we have a pattern laid down here in God's Word that the Apostle John, who spoke of himself as an elder, was praying for the beloved Gaius, and his desire for him, I believe it was his not only his want for him, but I believe it was his heart, desire, and prayer that he would prosper and be in health. But he wasn't just concerned about his natural prosperity. He was thankful for his spiritual prosperity, which he already had. And if you have spiritual prosperity tonight, that's better than any natural prosperity that you can have. It's better than your natural health. And isn't it something that if you have all the things of this world and you don't have any health, well, it doesn't mean anything, really. I mean, you can have all the goods of this world, but if your health is gone, you're in trouble. And I say to you, what even is more important than the natural health and the natural prosperity is that the soul prospers. Your soul needs prospering. I hope you tonight are here because you need some soul restoration. You need your soul to prosper. We have been so blessed in a natural way with so many things. We live like kings compared to people in the past. We got hot water running in our homes. Don't have to go out and boil it and heat it up. We got cold water. We can turn it from hot to cold. We got our refrigerators to keep everything cool. We have air conditioning to cool us down. Sometimes I wish it would work a little better. Some of you wish it wouldn't work nearly as good as it's working. And we have all kinds of battle about those kinds of things. We have a prosperity that people of the past really couldn't imagine. We get in fine automobiles with wonderful seats and ride for miles and miles and miles and don't have to worry about hardly anything, and often just feel like we're not getting along very good. I want you to know, and I know you know that, we are really, really blessed tonight in a natural way. But more important than that, what we have in a spiritual way, if the Lord has allowed you tonight to see that He is God, and if you understand that Jesus died on the cross and paid the sin debt for you, if you understand that you're a sinner in need of salvation and that Jesus came and saved His people from their sins, and that when you die and leave this world, you'll go home to be with Him in glory, not because you did something to get into that, but because He has done a wonderful work in your life, then if you had all those things that would mean so much to us in a natural way taken from us, if we lose all that, and yet we have that prosperity, as He spoke of here, a soul that's prospering, that's what we want to see. I tell you, there's peace when your soul prospers. You'll never get enough natural stuff to give you that kind of peace. You'll never have health good enough to give you that kind of peace. There was a young rich ruler who had his health and had the riches that this world could afford, and yet he didn't have a soul that was prospering. He had a soul that was troubled. And you can probably look back in a time in your life, and I can look at a time in my life where my soul was in trouble, and I was designed to have my soul find some peace and some rest. I had a lot of the natural things. I had a whole lot better health and a whole lot of other things, but I had a disturbance in my life because I was worried about my eternal condition before Almighty God. I felt like certainly I was going to be cast away from Him because of the sinner that I was. And even though that I was trying to do things in order to get some peace and some rest about that, my soul was troubled. I didn't have any prosperity in my soul. And when I came by the grace of God and heard the gospel declared, the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and by the faith that God has given me, been able to embrace that and trust in what Jesus did altogether for me as my hope for heaven, then there's been a peace that's come, not in based on what I did for the Lord, but rather in what He did for me. And my soul has prospered in that. And when I go to a funeral, I'm not nearly as sad or worried or concerned, because I know that if it's a little child of God, all is well with that little one who's left this world to be absent from the body. Whether they be young or old, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And there's a place called heaven today where all of God's children are there in the very presence of the Lord. And I know we sing that hymn, I go there to see my mother and I go there to see my father. But actually the main purpose we go to heaven and desire to go to heaven is to see Jesus. Oh, it's an added benefit to see others of God's children that have gone on before. But there's nothing more important and more wonderful for the little child of grace. And when we think about heaven, we ought to be thinking about, I'm going there to see Jesus. I'm going there to see my Savior, to sing His praises forevermore. And when God's little children down here long to see Jesus and have fellowship with Him, their soul is prospering. This brother Gaius was prospering in his soul. And I believe that's because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason he had relationship with the Lord is not because he chose the Lord, but rather the Lord chose him. And he worked a work of grace in his heart, and it became something that he saw and that he needed every day. I hope you see tonight you need Him. I need Him tonight. Not I'm going to be sitting here worrying about what's coming tomorrow, missing everything that's going on right now. And tomorrow may not even come. Listen, the Lord Jesus could come in the very midnight hour. Wouldn't it be wonderful? And as Brother Franklin Arista, who's gone home to be with the Lord, used to say, whatever time He comes, he believed it was going to be morning. And he said, that's just the way I feel. He's going to come in the morning. That didn't mean he was going to have to wait for morning. It means when he comes, midnight's going to be morning. 2 o'clock's going to be morning. It's going to be the morning of a wonderful time when God's little children are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be made in fashion like unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And those who are dead, they're going to come first. And there's going to be a resurrection. And they're going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. They're going to be that which was sown mortal is going to be raised immortal. That which is sown natural is going to be raised spiritual. That which was sown in weakness is going to be raised in power. And we're all together going to meet the Lord in the air. And it'll be that one eternal day. You know, when we've been there 10,000 years, really means when we've been there forevermore. Bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun, because we'll be able to see Him face to face, and what a day that truly will be. He said, I wish, my desire and my wish, not a wish like I wish upon a star, but my desire to God is that above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Isn't it good when we hear the brethren are in health? When we hear the brethren are prospering, and especially when their soul is prospering. And Gaius was a brother whose soul was prospering. He says, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. That means some elders or some ministers have left, or it could be. I feel like it's those who preached the gospel that came. But nonetheless, it was some of God's children that came, and they visited among the brethren wherever Gaius was at. The scripture doesn't really tell us where Gaius is at. Probably brother, the Apostle John is probably at the church at Ephesus. I feel like that's probably the place that he's at. But he said, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came. They came from where Gaius was, back to where John was, and they testified of the truth that was in Gaius. And I hope that folks that visit Happy Creek, and when they leave Happy Creek, I hope they testify of the truth that is in the brethren here. I hope that our light is shining as it ought. And brethren, it's important for us to recognize how important it is for us to live and act and walk and behave in a way to honor the Lord. It's not in order that someone might say something good about us, but it's in order that we might be bringing honor and glory to the Lord. What happens is when that happens, brethren do go back and they say, oh, that's I love to hear it when people say it's a happy place to be. Happy Creek's a happy place. Hope they don't come and say, well, they're really fussing and fighting over there, or they weren't very friendly, or they didn't show very much love, or there's something amiss there. You know, the Apostle Paul said and knew there was something amiss at Corinth, at the church at Corinth, and there was a whole lot going on at Corinth that wasn't the way it ought to be. It was still a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there was division among them at Corinth. There was those that were divided and separated, and that was felt among the brethren, and there was strife among them. Brethren, we need to labor that we might be walking in the truth, and that we are looking to Jesus. You know when we won't be divided? It's when every one of us get our eyes off one another and on the Lord. And we're trusting in the Lord, and we're recognizing what He's done for us. And I'm thankful, I believe, that there's a peace that we have here at this little church that has meant so much to me. But I pray God will, I hope we never take it for granted, and that God will continue to provide that. We'll have souls that prosper. He says, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. In other words, they said, those brethren are declaring the truth. That's really the most important thing that happens. It doesn't really matter who preaches. It does matter that they preach the truth. It doesn't matter who declares Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but it does matter that Jesus Christ and Him crucified is declared. I pray that it's declared from our pulpit. I pray that that's what we are preaching each meeting. But I also pray that that's what we put on and wear as we act as a congregation, and as we go downstairs, or as we go out into the community, that is the testimony of our lives, that it's not just something we say on Sunday but never put into practice or live in our life. Every day, every hour, every moment is a gift God has given to us. And I'll tell you, you'll find your soul prospering more the more you recognize how much I need Him. I need Him in my home. I need Him in my family. I need Him on the job. I need Him in every area of my life. And Lord, keep us close to Thee. He says, He said this, He said, even as thou walkest in the truth. Notice that. He not only knew the truth, but he walked in the truth. It's one thing to know the truth, but have you ever been in a place where you knew the truth, but you didn't walk in it? I confess to you tonight, there's lots of times that I know the truth, but I'm not walking in it. I not only want to know it tonight, I not only want to be a hearer of the word, it's a wise man that does what? That hears the words of Jesus and does them. He's like a man who digs deep and builds his house upon a rock. And then when the rains descend and the wind blows and beats upon that house stands because it's built upon the rock. But a foolish man is one who hears the words, but he doesn't do them. And he's when that house that's built upon that sand gets hit by the same storms, the exact same storms, that house falls, and great is the fall of that house. Brethren, may the Lord bless us to build our house, to build our lives upon the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Here we see the Apostle John talking about his children. And I don't believe they were his children in the sense of his natural children. I believe they were his children in the gospel, that he had shared the gospel with them. He hadn't born them again, because God does that. He's the one who is all of God's children have only one spiritual father. That's why we're told not to call any man father. That we have one father, and that's our God who is in heaven. He's our heavenly father. But in the gospel, and in the gospel sense, we do have fathers who have been those who taught us the gospel, that brought us to an understanding of the truth. And we look to them in that role of in the gospel being our fathers. And as the Apostle Paul said, you have many instructors, but you only have one father. And he was talking about himself in the sense that he was one who had brought the gospel to those. And John had some children here that he had shared the gospel with. And he said, nothing makes me happier than to see one that I've taught the gospel walking in it. I'll tell you, any pastor worth his salt, that's what he wants to see in the congregation. He wants to see them making decisions based on the truth of God's Word. He desires that they live their lives in a way to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Not so he'd feel like, look what I did, but rather that he would say, look what the Lord's done. What a wonderful thing it is to see the Lord working in the lives of people. And I've seen him change your lives. I've seen it. I've watched it. I've seen him change how you talk, change how you act, change how you walk, change how you look, change how you behave, change what you do. He's worked in you as you've applied the truth that you've been taught. The Lord has blessed you to do that by His grace. We're not patting anybody on the back here or puffing anybody up, because without the grace of God, all of us tonight collectively are just one big mess. And there would be no hope for any of us. But in the Lord and what He's done for us, have you not seen it where the Lord's hand has been there and He's worked in the lives of His people? And now we bow our heads and pray before a meal. We look to the Lord before we go to bed at night. We look to the Lord before we enter into the day. We're trusting Him and desiring it. In our meetings, we need to pray more, need to look to Him more. And here this one brother says, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. He said, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. In other words, there were brethren that came and they took care of them. Sound like old Baptist, doesn't it? Brethren come and you take care of them. And it's important that we take care of them. When our brethren come to visit us, we want them to be taken care of, don't we? We want them to have a good place to stay. We want them not to have to... They didn't come... Listen, those elders that come to visit us don't come for money. They don't come to get any money. They don't come to get their pockets filled with money. They're not preaching. You couldn't pay them to preach. And by the way, if you could pay them to preach, you could pay them to stop preaching. If you could pay them to say what they're saying, you could change the. They're not. You know, Balaam even said that, and he was one who would like to have gotten a little of the money. But Balaam in the Old Testament wanted to be able to say something different. But it was commanded of God to say what I've said, and you can't say any more. And he kept asking God, as if God would change his mind, so that he could get some of the profit and the benefit of saying what the king wanted him to say. But nonetheless, he couldn't say that. Now, he had to learn a lot of lessons and didn't learn them very well. And there's a lot we could say about old Balaam. he was a kind of a silly fella. He had a donkey that talked to him, and rather than say get surprised about that, he talked back to him. I mean, that's how silly a man can act. And listen, a minister is to preach what God lays on his heart. And you can't pay one that's truly a God-called minister that's obedient to his calling. You couldn't pay them to preach it or to change from it. And you couldn't pay them. They're not there for that. But listen, it's our obligation to help them. And when we can help them, well, we're a helper. As the scripture says here, there were those who did that. He says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. That meaning, not only to the brethren that you knew, but also to those that you didn't know. And you know how quickly we can have a visitor come who's a minister and stand before us, and you've never seen him before. He looks different. You haven't ever seen him, but by the time he's finished, you feel like you've known. Have you had him reach right into your heart? You feel like you've known him all your life. And isn't that the way that relationship works among God's people? I've been to some churches where I looked at the congregation and didn't know but maybe one or two in the entire congregation. But before the meeting was over, I felt like even leaving them, I was leaving home to go home. When it was time to go, I felt like, well, I have a longing for them and a love for them. Man, and we have that tie in the truth. And as they help you along the way to share, and listen, we're not here in order to make someone rich, but we're here to help them share the gospel as they go and to help them along the way. And he commended them for that. He commended Gaius for that. He says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully. And that means he did it because of the faith that God had given him and worked in him, and he did it believing in God and trusting in God. He didn't just do some good work so somebody would pat him on the back. He did what God led him to do. And somebody might say, what am I supposed to do? You do what God leads you to do. Somebody say, how much am I supposed to give? You give what God leads you to give, and you do what God leads you to do. And I'll tell you what, when you follow him, you will always find that what you need. And when you start following something else, oh, you're on the wrong course. But here he said, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after godly sort, thou shalt do well. In other words, when you help the ministers of God along the way, you're walking in a way that's pleasing to God. That's well-doing in the sight of God. And he says, Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. These men went preaching, I believe, among the Gentiles, and they didn't go for charge or for price. They didn't go to those they were preaching and said, Now, you take care of our needs. The church there supplied things so that as they went, they were able to go and share the gospel. And that's what we want these dear brethren to do, is share the gospel. I'm thankful we've been blessed to hear the gospel. But don't you believe there's a lot of God's children that could enjoy what we're hearing, that haven't heard it, that could benefit from hearing this truth that you and I take sometimes for granted that we've been able to hear? I believe there's many of God's children burdened down that belong to the Lord that would be greatly benefited in hearing the truth of salvation by grace. And any way we can help a dear brother share that truth, and any way we can do that, we ought to do that. And he was commending them for that. And we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And tonight you don't realize how much a fellow helper you are to the truth if the Lord has blessed you to be an encourager of God's little children. That's when brethren come among us and preaching the gospel, we want to encourage them. We want to let them know we enjoyed the things that we heard and encourage them to continue on preaching the gospel and the glorious good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do that with me and with others, you are a fellow helper of the truth, to the truth. And he says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now, here we got another character who was in the church, same church with Gaius. Gaius, we read a whole lot here, nine verses, of commendation that came from the apostle and the elder, and said, and yet all of it was to the glory and the honor of God. And then here we have Diotrephes. And Diotrephes had a different spirit than Gaius, didn't he? Diotrephes, he loveth to have the preeminence among them. Receiveth us not. And I tell you, when you get somebody who wants to be in charge, whether it's in the home or whether it's in the church or whether it's on the job or wherever it is, when someone wants to have the preeminence, they cause trouble. And it causes deep trouble and division among God's people. And this Diotrephes, I believe, was a minister who loved to have the preeminence among them. He received not the Apostle John. And oh, brethren, it's very important that we as ministers understand that every minister the Lord has given us is important, and that we desire to have fellowship with them and encourage them. And we certainly don't want to feel like we're above them or desire to have the preeminence among them. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. This brother was causing great harm and trouble in the church because he wanted to have the preeminence, and he didn't receive the Apostle John, and he didn't receive those that John had sent. These are good, faithful ministers that had come, and he forbiddeth them that would, and those that would go other than that, he would cast them out of the church. But I'll let you know this. If a man sows to the flesh, he's going to be of the flesh reaping corruption. And if he sows to the Spirit, he's going to of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And God is not mocked. God is in control. And Brother John here is telling him, he said, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Which means when a man starts walking in those contrary ways, God didn't call him to do that. God didn't order him or give him the commandment to do that. He's walking contrary to the Lord, and he's going to cause great, great harm. Oh, how important it is for us wanted to be more like Gaius, who's more like Jesus, than to be like Diotrephes, who wants a preeminence. Anytime we start wanting a little credit, or we start wanting our name to be somewhere, or to think more of ourselves than we ought to think, the Bible just warns us of that over and over again. Now, where does that attitude come from? It comes out of the old nature. It doesn't come from the Lord, because it's not of the Lord, but it comes out of the nature of man. Brother Forrest preached yesterday morning a long discourse about how that was in us and part of us, and that we have to put that off and keep that under. And it's how I've seen jealousy among preachers and jealousy among members cause great, great harm in a church where someone wanted to be in control and would not receive others and what they had been blessed to bring by the grace of God. And he goes on and he says, Demetrius. Here's another little brother mentioned by name. Now, Demetrius is what we want to be, like Demetrius. Demetrius had good report of all men. That means not only a good report among the brethren, but a good report among those outside, and of the truth itself. He declared the truth. And yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. He goes on and he says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. It's a good thing when we can go among the brethren and see them face to face. He says, peace be to thee. And I close tonight with that. Peace be to you. Our friends salute thee. That means those that love, that are the friends there, that I believe the brethren at Ephesus were saluting the brethren here at the church where Gaius was at. And he said, greet the friends by name. The fellowship of God's little children is so absolutely important. And of course, that fellowship is based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. It's a fellowship that's in the truth. And to have fellowship with the Lord's people is a wonderful, glorious blessing that the Lord's given us here in this world. I do appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Love you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you.